Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Speaking of the bro cycle, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the brilliant, the talented, the hilarious Brody Reed.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's
good to
up,
be back
man?
In the bro chair. It's me, Brody Reed, aka
the bro chair.
Fly away on my pepper. I've tasted more than cheddar. That's a you guys like that song?
Oh, beautiful. Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, CPK, man. We're here. We're here.
Yeah.
It's good to be here. Don't listen to Miles, everyone. Don't get the vax. Definitely get the vax. Just get the first one. You don't have to get the second one.
That's when it gets weird.
Dude. It hurt.
It's funny how many people I've actually had to convince to get vaccinated.
Yeah, me too.
I'm surprised.
I am friends with like a bunch. All of my close friends are just like hella old people. They come over, we play cards, and we play chess, and they tell me about the Tuskegee experiments and stuff like that.
Right.
And I, you know, I have to show them, you know, a PowerPoint every
You're
single
like,
time.
I get that. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. And I'm going to start off by saying that's fair, which is
absolutely. So I've had to convince people in my life to get first shots, second shots, third shots.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're getting them. I'm holding them down. I'm putting them in their arms.
I got a friend to get vaccinated because I said we wouldn't be able to go to a Laker game.
Oh,
And he was like, oh, for real? He's like, oh, okay. Yeah, I should probably get that then.
They
and I
make
was like,
you
oh
get
my God.
Nosebleeds only.
I couldn't, but I got real mad. Like, I didn't tell him, but I was like, the fuck, bro? It wasn't everything else. It was merely the thought of you getting embarrassed walking into Staples Center when they're like, you've been vaccinated, my man. And you're like,
and was like, that friend LeBron James, by the way? Because he doesn't seem to want to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
I understand because he does seem to be the only indestructible human being on the planet, but still, mm-hmm. man, you could be passing that shit around.
Right. I understand it from like a comic book level, but not reality-based level like, where you're still a human, LeBron.
They said I can't go to anime conventions anymore unless I get it, so I decided to get it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We were also talking before we recorded about the difficulties socially of emerging back into the world. It's not easy. It's never been easy for me. I worked from home for 4 years just in a kitchen where my wife was going to medical school, so I barely saw her. and then we moved to LA from Columbia, Missouri, and I didn't know how to talk to people anymore. I was like, I couldn't even like be in a public setting. It was wild.
I mean, some people would argue that you still don't know how to talk to people.
Right. Yeah. Why is he only looking at my shoes? But yeah, be patient with yourselves, everyone.
Yeah.
We're all going to be a little awkward here at first.
Yeah. We had to literally change full on our way of life rapidly. So it'll take a minute to thaw.
Yeah, start off simple. Get some, have some like board game parties before you have full blown parties. You know, play some apples to apples or something.
Yeah,
like stuff. Yeah, you want to prevent like people getting so fucked up they start getting emotional phase of partying. Like that's like about a month in for me. I'm gonna be like, yo, we're not drinking like that. We're not drinking like that.
No, we are at a pool party right now.
Yeah, exactly. We're chilling. Right. We're chilling. We're
crying in the pool.
My turn up schedule has me turning up in about 6 weeks. So.
Yeah. People experiencing social anxiety for the first time, like that will make you drink too fast. Do not, don't do that because you're like, oh, I gotta get as many of these in the old body.
I'm gonna have my first house party is gonna be strictly Martinelli's, no alcoholic beverages, just fake champagne,
low sodium food, just very, you know, like let's keep
carrots, you know,
straight and narrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I drank so much apple juice when I was a kid, and like now when I taste apple juice, it's like fucking maple syrup. That is like the thickest, sweetest shit.
It truly is not healthy
for
that much sugar to be in a child's body.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. But for whatever reason, that was like the thing like my mom thought, because, you know, my mom only, like I think from her perspective as a Japanese immigrant, was like, sodas are bad.
You know what I
mean? So you're not drinking soda. But this glass bottle? Yeah. That is all sugar? Yeah. Just down those. Because I would, like, at a certain point, I really could not get off Martinelli's apple juice.
Yeah.
Because, like,
it's a sippable drink. It's strictly sipping. Yeah.
And then I got, like, as I got older, I would drink the whole apple-shaped bottle, and then my mom would get mad at me, and then this is when, you know, she was trying to change me, but the sugar fucking already had me.
Yeah, no, I feel like our whole generation was just like juice was a health food, no matter what. And it's just like juice? That's mm-hmm. just straight up
Capri
sugar.
Suns.
Yeah.
Remember that girl Alex Mack?
Yep.
It was on the news.
Yep.
It was on Nick News.
totally. Get that because I'm your age. What is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay, yeah, so this needs a little bit of setup. I'll ask you guys, how familiar are you with Sonic the Hedgehog fan art?
Oh, fan art?
Yeah, like the fan art community around the video game character Sonic the Hedgehog.
I mean, I'm familiar enough with the franchise where when I've encountered fan art, it kind of makes sense. But I don't know if I could call out specific pieces of fan art. Or maybe I could if I saw, because I don't know. I see so much internet all the time that I'd say 50% chance I know what we're talking about.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I would say that there's...
I'm a collector, but go ahead.
Over-leveraged on Sonic fan art NFTs.
You have a lot of NFTs?
Yeah.
So yes, Sonic the Hedgehog fan art. It has a robust community and you know, like there's the typical kind of like fan art genres that you might expect, you know, like Sonic as Avatar the Last Airbender and but then of course you get into the erotic. Sonic with a, you know, huge veiny crank giving it to Luigi. Things like
giving it to Luigi.
Go on.
Yeah, so you know what you would expect. But
intrigued.
So but the genres get even more specific. There is a robust and thriving community of Christian Sonic fan art people. So it's like Sonic weeping at the foot of the cross.
Oh my God.
Yep. You know, Sonic reading Bible verses, but they'll awkwardly insert other Sonic characters. So it'll be like, no one comes to the Father but through me, Knuckles. So that exists, right?
Oh shit, okay.
And the one I found out about this week was there is Sonic on his deathbed fan art. So it is like Sonic in the hospital on life support, and then like Tails weeping at his bedside. And there, and it's not just one person did this. Many people have done this.
Yeah.
And it's most of it's done in MS Paint. And it's like, I don't know where it comes from. It's like,
he's intubated. Yeah.
It's bad based
what about this speaks to people?
What?
That's so great.
So I have now Googled Sonic fan art deathbed.
Yeah. Mario looks so sad in this, the top result for Sonic's deathbed.
Yeah, and you'd think he'd be like, man, fuck that. Like, you'd think he'd be kicking the plug out of his, like, life support machine.
You would think so.
He's Nintendo all day. He's like, fuck Sega's ass.
Absolutely. This guy razzed me in commercials in the 90s. He beat me in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, when it feels like the Easy Dr. Dre thing. When Easy was on his deathbed, Dre came through and was like, look, man, like, let's put all that shit behind us. I feel like Mario is Dre in this situation.
Oh, wow.
He's like, okay. You know, we had our differences, but we are the same deep down. And seeing you dying here is a little too close for home. It's making me think about my own mortality. And also, Luigi clearly injected you with whatever's killing you.
So, feel bad about that.
Right.
Ain't no hard feelings, man.
What is something you think is overrated, Jordan?
About once a year, I forget that I hate Starbucks blended drinks. And I get a Starbucks blended drink because it's time for a treat.
Yeah.
You know? And I get it. Because, you know, it looks good on the menu.
Yeah, they really. Good photography for those drinks.
Very good photography. Yeah, geez, if you've ever seen one of those Starbucks breakfast sandwiches in person versus the menu.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Or even the sous vide egg bites. Like,
yes!
And you're like, oh, wow. And you're like, are these pencil erasers that are just greasy? But they taste good?
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing about the breakfast sandwiches. The sausage, cheddar, egg breakfast sandwich looks like shit. It looks like shit. And
absolutely.
Even like parts of it are hard. That shouldn't be hard.
Oh, yeah, because it's
yet,
microwave
like,
to fuck.
I've never had one that I didn't enjoy like 80% of the sandwich for some reason. They have, I think, whatever chemicals they put
think
in
because
there
if you,
agree to the...
If you're getting a
brain.
Starbucks breakfast sandwich, it's because you're so out your mind hungry.
Yes, that's also true.
And that's why. It's just because it's relative to your hunger. Because I'm never checking for a Starbucks breakfast. I'm doing that because I'm like, fuck! What has something that resembles breakfast?
Like, I'm at the airport and I'm mad. I need something.
Gatorade tastes better when you're running a marathon. That's like the equivalent of like the trick my brain is playing.
Wait, so what's your experience like with the blended drinks? Like in your mind, what's it going to be? And it always ends up being another. It's like, it sounds like me with cotton or candy corn.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a great analogy. That thing that like one bite or one sip of it is a lot of fun. And then the fifth bite, you're like, fuck this. Yeah, I just like, I get it. And I'm like, hey, this will be like, you know, this will be tasty. This will give me a little pep. And every time I have it, I'm like, this is icy. This is chonky in a way that I don't like. And I just wish it was a Carl's Jr. milkshake for the calories, you know, like.
Right.
So. Right. It's ice. It's like ice crystals at the core with like the coffee milky stuff around it. So it just makes you wish it was a milkshake because like a slushy, a slurpee, I can deal with the fact that like the balance gets thrown off as I'm drinking it and it's just ice left behind. But when it's a coffee drink, it's like that balance is too fucked up. It's like now I just feel like I'm drinking like the weakest coffee that's ever been brewed and then left out for
how does it
hours.
Stack up against a culotta from Dunkin'?
I think it's similar.
I may,
like,
you know.
Is it equally frustrating? Because I feel like, you know, everybody's kind of, it ends up being a lot of frozen water in the end of the day. It sounds like what we are looking at is trying to move away from the frappe and towards milkshake territory with these drinks.
You know, I am not a, I'm not a Dunkin' guy. I grew up on the West Coast, so Dunkin's are kind of a new thing, you know, for me in the landscape. And I moved recently and there's a close Dunkin'. I've just never liked it. I can't find anything that I like there. I kind of want to join the East Coast people and their like enthusiasm for Dunkin' because I think it's very sincere. I think it's very adorable, and I want to like, I don't know. I want to share that because I do love donuts, but it's every time I've gone to Dunkin', it sucks, and I don't want it to. I want
it
to be good.
Get that sour cream. Get that sour cream.
Oh yeah.
Donut. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what Jack put me on to when we were. I'm like a Dunkin'.
All sour cream cake donuts. I feel like it's pretty hard to fuck up if you're... Have you only been to Dunkin' on the West Coast? And I'm not a Dunkin' apologist by any means, but
No. And I'm
heard you're Dunkin' just a apologist.
Paid endorser.
Yeah. I think I've had it out here a couple times, and then I've had it a couple times on the East Coast as like road trip airport. Right.
Yeah.
Like a road trip airport type stop.
Yeah. I've heard people who are Dunkin' defenders in the marketing meetings we have with the Dunkin' people tell me that you're supposed to, that like, they're like, well, it's different on the West Coast. And I think it's also like franchisee. And so like you can hit a really bad one, you know, that is just like,
sure.
Ugh.
God. Yeah.
So we could ask Jamie Loftus. I'm sure she can rank our West Coast Dunkin'.
I feel like she's more in it for like the Dunkin' swag than, but I guess she also likes the... that's not shade. That's not shade. I just feel like I don't want people. All right. Sorry, Jamie, to doubt your, I don't know, your cred.
A bit of light ribbing podcaster to podcaster. I think we can handle it. The internet, can't we?
What's something you think is overrated?
There's a lot of things I think overrated. Talib Kweli. But camping.
Okay.
I think camping's overrated.
Are you a camper at all, or are you just...
My wife is.
Uh-huh.
I mean, principally speaking, I'm like, why would I leave a perfectly good inside to construct a subpar outside?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And like, and to the degree for which you enjoy camping is the level for which my subpar inside I constructed becomes like the inside I just left. So I'm, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, this is a really comfortable sleeping bag. It's just like a bed. Well, then what the fuck? Why don't I just stay in the bed then? You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you know, oh man, this tent is so warm. It's like walls. Okay. Why would I leave walls to go to like walls? You know what I'm saying? I got a fire pit outside in my backyard. I could cook over an open fire. That's fine. And then go sleep in a temperature controlled place. There's bears. Mosquitoes. I gotta spray myself down with chemicals so I don't get bit, or I could just stay inside. I don't understand why everybody is so in love. The Neanderthals figured out that it's better to be inside.
Right.
Exactly.
So I'm just like, this shit is overrated. Like, you spending so much money to make what you already got.
Right. Does it have anything to do with being growing up in the city? Being camping?
I think it has a lot to do with that.
I feel the same. Like, I like going. It's like fun for like the first time. Like, oh, it's okay, that was cool. But I'm like, but for real, like, nah. There's a lot of shit I need.
Days, here. Yeah.
I'll go out for like a day.
I'll go exactly. I'm like, the outside is beautiful. Don't get me wrong. Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Nature's amazing. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, I got sleep out here. Like, that's ridiculous. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, like we go to like Arlo's staycations. I go to Joshua Tree. You know what I'm saying? We go have a great time out there, and then go to a nice Airbnb.
There you go.
Yeah. Inside. Yeah.
Inside.
Yeah. I think it's funny. Yeah. Boy. Just growing up in the city too. Like, I loved whenever I could go. Like, anytime there was a field trip to nature, I was like, oh, this is fucking dope. Like, it's so different than just the fucking valley and shit. Mm-hmm. But then, after a while, like, I think as you kind of get set into your ways, it got a little bit harder for me. But, you know, all that to say, I'd imagine maybe I could endure it, like, if I go to one of those places, like, you know, fucking the beginning of Big Little Lies.
Yeah.
Shit,
you know
what I mean? You see,
know,
like,
what?
That kind of shit, like Carmel.
Yeah. Now Big that you Sir. Say it, I think there might be some like psychological trauma from childhood, from feeling like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Like my father was a Black Panther, but he was like city boy, ladies man. Like, I don't know how to change no oil. I ain't know how to like, I'm gonna work on cars. Like,
right.
I don't know how to do none of this shit. So like, I feel like since my father wasn't like these other dads who had tents and stuff like that,
right.
Like you low key feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like you less right. of a boy than the rest of the other boys.
Oh yeah. See, so, same way. I came from a tentless home as well.
Yeah, exactly. Tentless home. I was like, we ain't got money for that. Like, what you want to buy a tent? What is it for, to sit in the garage?
Right.
Like, the hell we gonna do with this? So yeah. So I feel like I remember first time I went fishing.
Yeah.
There was this family down the street, you know, just menly men, had their boat, had their RV, you know what I'm saying? And they went out where was that? I want to say it was like Angeles Crest. So like up in La Crescenta, they went up there to go fishing. So I got to go with them, and it's three boys. And I mean like Boy Scouts, right? So
right.
We went, and I remember they was fighting over who gets to throw the anchor down. So they were like, no. Jason's our guest. We're going to let him do it. So I threw the anchor down, and as it's going down, I realize I ain't tied to the boat. So I'm watching the shit go.
I mean,
all
that's
the way
on
down.
Them. Come on.
Yeah. I'm panicking. Like,
yeah.
I'm panicking.
Right. Like, yeah.
Oh, you know, so I don't say nothing, but my back is to them, so they can't see this happening. And then as the boat's drifting, they're like, what happened? And I remember now as a father, like how well these boys' dads handled this. Like he was just like, Jason, did you tie the, and I was like, no, you know, and he was
did
like,
did you tell me to tie?
I know, right? That's what I should have said. Right.
Fuck off.
But yeah, I wish I had the balls to do that. But nah, he was like, and the boys are like all biting their tongue because they was like, we told you not to let him. You know what I'm saying? Right. So they're like, it's okay. It's boys. It's okay. Right. We'll just go get another one. We'll have to pay for this and we'll just go get another one. Come out. So I cost them like $50 in a couple hours, you know. But like after that, I was like, I'm never getting on another damn boat again.
There
like,
we go. Yeah. But we'll create the space to allow that younger Jason to heal.
Thank you.
That,
I appreciate
you know,
it.
Because it wasn't your fault. You know, they didn't fucking train you. And then
they
want to
tell
you in the
me
mix like that. The fuck
you know what
that?
I'm saying? They thought they was doing something good. You know, we don't take the poor kid out fishing.
The only time we ever camped when I was a kid with my family was when they were painting the inside of our house and we couldn't sleep in our room. And so they set up a tent. We borrowed a tent from the neighbors and put it in our backyard. And that was fucking dope. That was
See,
the most
me,
fun thing you can do.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And then I went in because I was like, this is uncomfortable. So I slept on the couch.
Yeah.
Same thing with me. First time I camped in my backyard, my dad was like, fuck. Like, because he was like, you really want to do this? I'm like, I don't know. We just watched that movie Congo where they just threw those pop tents out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're like, they just threw the motherfucker out. And it was a fully made tent. And I was like, we got to get on that wave. So
this is dope. Yeah.
One of our neighbors had one, so we borrowed it. The tiniest fucking tent, by the way. And by fucking, I remember 10, like by 10 o'clock, we got in there like at 7. I was like, I want to go inside. And he's like, yeah, I was actually going to wait for you to fall asleep. And I was like,
just drag your ass inside.
I played video games.
I love that Congo made you want to go camping because Jaws made me want to go swim in the ocean and get eaten by a shark. Like when I was a kid.
Like,
kids are so dumb.
Yeah.
What's something you think is underrated?
Plants. I love plants, man. I think plants. I have so many plants and I want more. And there's something I think on this topic, there's something really powerful about having to wait for something, you know, especially on Twitter where everything is about the immediate likes. You're pulling down and refreshing like a freaking slot machine and everything's just, you get everything right away. So I think there's something really powerful in slowly watering a plant, taking care of it, checking the soil, making sure it's not dry and waiting for a month for that first sprout. And then propagating, taking the leaves and soaking them in water so that they can sprout new roots. There's like something incredibly meditative about waiting. you know? So I think plants changed my life. It was because of COVID, man, because COVID. I had to stay home like everybody else, and it drove me crazy. And I felt like I needed something to pull me away from the screens, because I was going from tiny screen to medium screen to big screen, right, to medium screen to small screen, just on loop. So I needed like an activity in my city environment where there's really not a lot of space. So I needed something to do, and I joined like this plant club where they gave you a bunch of free plants, and that really it hit me, man. It hit me right in like 3 seconds. I sat down. I was just staring at it, like the little seed, and waiting for it to pop out. And I was like, this is dope. Yeah, I want to do this all day. Just staring at dirt.
Propagating.
I got notes on this plant. It's taken way too long. We need a little bit more action up front. Maybe just a little tease. Just give me a little bit up front. And
where are the LED lights on
around
this plant?
Right.
I don't know. Where's the smoke machine? I don't like this one. But yeah, we propagate in my crib, because it's the second, like my mom, she loves succulents and stuff. And so when she first put us on to just lob it off and get that thing going, and then you can keep exponentially multiplying. And now we're kind of addicted to it.
Yeah.
Like we got so many clippings soaking in water that at a certain point, I'm like, what are we going to do with all these? But it is nice to even the process. Yeah, there is some meditative aspect to it, because there is feedback. Like it's not a process devoid of feedback, but it takes time. And I think being able to sit within those intervals without the feedback is, you know, where the Zen comes in.
Dude, I put a couple leaves in, some glass cups, so I can wash the roots. And wifey, it was her favorite cup, so she took it and put it in this plastic cup that you can't see through. And I flipped out. I was like, what are you doing? I need to see the roots. I need to see the roots.
I have to see what's going on.
I need the feedback. So I'm still addicted, but I'm working on it.
The best is when you see a leaf coming out and you're like, oh, this motherfucker about to unfurl on us.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Go on then.
That just
spread your fucking leaf wings now.
I just got a shot of dopamine when you said that.
Yeah. It's funny because, my partner should be like, yo. I think it's going to happen either today or tomorrow. And you're like, oh, as you can see, it's busting. Oh, it's trying to bust open. Oh, come on now. Leaf, do your thing.
That was the horniest description of plant life that I've ever heard.
I'm not going to lie. We have a bird of paradise.
Bust all over the place.
It is a little erotic, because we had a bird of paradise where when the flowers come out, they undulate with all this fucking energy and color change and stuff. You know what I mean? And you're oh, this thing. Because it has to,
Miles is getting gross, man.
It blossoms.
This is,
you know what I mean?
I'm making my next court appearance, Undulate 3000.
Undulator 3000.
What was that song by that kind of electronic? Oh, Tessellate. That's what it was, not Undulate. But it was all right, that was a weird way to describe sex. But yeah, I really like the point about time, mixing up the things you're interacting with, the living things you're interacting with, and the timeline they're on. That just slows you down a little bit. And if you have a relationship with something that moves at the pace of days as opposed to, seconds. That's cool. That's cool. I hadn't really thought about it that way.
You should get some plants, man.
Yeah, I should.
Yeah.
Fortunately,
we've been saying that for a long time, Eamon. We'll see if you
Yeah. Well, there's the court.
Really,
order.
I've been saying, hey, let me grow weed in your garage. You're not using it. Benny keeps saying no. But whatever. The point remains. You should get into plants.
The electric company is starting to pay attention, Miles.
I said I'll bring Jenny's, and I got the carbon filter so your neighbors won't even know it smells, and I'll insulate the roof of your garage, so if the cops come through looking for the heat, markings.
Keeps knocking down
overhead,
the power grid.
They're not gonna know.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And so there's a trend happening on Tinder. So I've obviously noticed it, but I think a couple other people have noticed as well that ever since the news of Bill and Melinda Gates breaking up, there's been a lot of Bill Gates accounts popping up. And apparently it's not just because Bill Gates is like super horny. It's scammers.
I think everywhere, it's just like them breaking up has just created all kinds of internet jokery of all kinds of shenanigans. So Tinder, they were asked, you know, like, what's going on with this? Do you think like there's a lot of people trying to impersonate Bill Gates? They said, like, we don't have all the data specifically as it relates to Bill Gates fake accounts. But they basically said, but trust us when we say this. You will not be able to successfully impersonate Bill Gates for too long because there's like apparently a few steps that they have to say. So if you want to verify your profile, at first you got to scan your face with like facial recognition software so it will match the pictures. There's like, okay, so good luck with that. And then they're also reviewed and scanned for like any oddities before going live, apparently. And they said if someone did want to like flag it, then they could look and further verify. But they're saying it's, while some people may get through it like by being clever about stuff, overall, more than likely, if someone does get to you saying they're Bill Gates, it probably won't be. But also they're saying you might not even encounter Bill Gates. They're trying to clean up Tinder. OK, we get it.
Why are people even doing that? That's my
exactly.
fucking
like,
that's my major. If it's like, who are you making laugh with that? Who are you fooling? Like,
right.
It's too much. there's too much emphasis put on just being able to make someone look like an ass as a victory. Like, right. If you're not saying anything or doing something in particularly funny, this all feels like just whack, like starting a fire in a parking lot kind of shit. You know what I mean?
Where it's like, it's like the first thought of a joke, which is, what if Bill Gates is on Tinder and we made that? And it ends there. Yeah, and it's not funny after
that. It's like we impersonated a divorced man trying to get laid to other people. Like, it's like...
Right, and then you're oh, dude, I matched with my mom. What do I do? It's shit. I didn't intend for any of this.
Shit. Last night, I had to dress up as Bill Gates and fuck my mom. She was so into it. I feel so stupid.
Is there some, cultural weird urge to impersonate Bill Gates? Because there was also that Bill Gates impersonator on Nathan For You who was like, didn't look like Bill Gates at all, but was like still like, I'm a real Gates.
Yeah.
Who I ran into at the supermarket and I made him take a picture with me when I saw him. And he was wearing his like Arkansas Razor, because he's a big Razorbacks fan, if you remember the Nathan For You episode. But I don't know what they would do even if you got that far. I think it's just like much in the same way that people were just doing like screenshots of like DMs from Bill Gates trying to pretend he was like hollering at people. But it's just an internet joke that ends the second it becomes real.
But Bill Gates is not on Tinder.
Yeah.
First of all, we know an exclusive dating app exists called Raya.
Right.
That means that there's 10 we don't know about.
Right.
And,
exactly.
There are some that Bill Gates just might have more opportunities than the rest of the world, is my guess.
And I think that has something to do with why his wife wanted to get divorced, because it seems like you're saying him palling around with Jeffrey Epstein in terms of being like, these people don't move like normal people. And you see, they buy whole islands where they have their trafficking people and they go on their private jets there. So Melinda Gates has had an issue with Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Gates hanging out, apparently. The Daily Beast.
My wife hates my friends. Why? Because you're always drinking and partying? No, because they're legendary pedophiles.
Because I told you this guy's a sex crim and he just made a plea deal and somehow got off and you're still hanging out with him. So she said since 2013, she has been warning Bill Gates about hanging around Jeffrey Epstein. She's like,
because
that story came out and she's like, dude, stay away. What are you doing? This is like so fucking alarming. And then a former manager of the Gates Foundation then said that the relationships between the two men and other like employees of the foundation like started growing even after Melinda was like very unequivocal about being like, stay away. And then on top of that, apparently the divorce sort of exploratory conversations began in 2019, around the time this New York Times piece came out that was like outlining the successful people who Epstein was kicking it with, etc. And it also included this very specific line from that article, which may, I don't know if it has something to do with her calling her lawyers up, but few compared in prestige and power to the then world's second richest person, a brilliant and intensely private luminary, Bill Gates. And unlike many others, Mr. Gates started the relationship after Mr. Epstein was convicted of sex crimes. So then she started talking to her lawyers. Again, all of it is just, anecdotal. So who knows if that's exactly what happened. But it seems like if you were getting warnings in 2013 and you still didn't heed them. Eesh. It's all very.
Yeah, you got to change for your partner, especially if the change they're asking is please stop hanging out with pedophiles. Right. Like, honestly, the talk about the least you could do for a partner is that.
Right.
Also, while we're just psychoanalyzing a billionaire's marriage from hip fire psychiatry from the three of us, I got to say, wasn't there something interesting, or to me, it kind of made Bill Gates even cool, Bill and Melinda even cooler, that he had carved out in their marriage. He had carved out one weekend.
The hall pass.
Yeah, he had like a hall pass weekend to go to his beach house with his ex.
With his ex. That's what's so fucking
I know.
Wild.
I would be like, so I'd put the wording in that it could be up. Anyone.
Right.
Let's put it in the wording as anybody.
Ex,
that's a weird legal throuple you're in then at that point. You know what I mean? Like, it's vividly this other person, but that's how.
That's some 21st century marriage shit, though, which is like, people know what they want, ask for it, and get it. And Melinda's even like, dude, I've been letting you fuck a weekend. Now you want to go on a trip to an island with a temple?
I'm off.
With fucking Malcolm Gladwell? Get the fuck off that
Right.
I do wonder if she was waiting to like spring this for when he had like a PR fuck up, like he did with the say, like coming out anti lifting the patents on,
yes,
on the vaccine. Like if she was just like, all right, I know I want to get rid of this fucking asshole, but like I need to be like, right, I need just like a little foothold so I can build up the momentum of, oh yeah, remember this shit where he like carved out a fucking thing with specifically his ex, or remember like this weird Eyes Wide Shut like sex thing that he was involved with, or
right. It's kind of like the like, it's weird when you're a celebrity in such a high powered relationship, like you have to think of the PR around divorcing. You're like, okay, he's gonna fuck up and then I'm gonna strike. Whereas like when you're a normal person, you're like, all right, if this fool gets super drunk again at this party, we're breaking up.
Right.
Like that's like the normal person version of this being like.
But then you got to line up his friends. So like,
if he doesn't release those patents, I will divorce him. It does feel like, it does feel a little like the straw that broke the camel's back too, where it's a little bit like, look, I let you do this fucking thing. I let you fucking, the Epstein shit has been right, bothering me. And now you are like, now we're bad guys because you won't fucking send vaccine, yeah, like, components, nah, to India. Get the fuck out of here. Bill, how much more money do we need? What do you need, a third beach house to fuck your high school girlfriend?
You know, I didn't have a girlfriend in high school.
Hence the Epstein thing.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. Microsoft was a terrible nickname I was given by my fellow classmates.
I even fucking hate the fact that like the New York Times like brilliant luminary when describing him, and the fact that this is like a royal divorce. This is like front page news everywhere. It's like,
all fucking
what the fuck,
acquainted, man? Or depend on their fund. It's so weird. No one can just speak directly. Like,
right. Well, yeah, yeah.
We're so obsessed with rich people too that it's like there's no need for Bill Gates to be a celebrity. Like there's right, no need for us to talk about him, but we're obsessed. And can you do we think partially is Melinda sees what happens to Bezos's ex? Where,
oh, I think so, yeah.
She's like, let's get a divorce. And he's like, okay. And she's like, distance herself from a guy who's rapidly becoming a even more of a villain.
Right.
And she gets to go from married to the richest person to being like the third richest person in the world.
Right. Right.
Just and by I'm saying, just, yeah, fuck this. Yeah.
And Melinda's truly like, being like using philanthropy to like really differentiate yourself. Because I feel like Mackenzie Bezos has been doing a lot of like weird surprise, like money drops on people.
She's been doing some crazy aggressive shit that no one seen. Like she's like picking a small thing and overloading it with like $1 billion or something.
Right.
It's like, hell yeah, let's try, yeah, fucking everything.
Willy Wonka that shit.
Yes, you know. Bezos just stewing. He's like, this is what you're doing with the $100 billion you got off me.
But don't you think like, it's weird that it hasn't been picked up more? Like, shouldn't that be a, I do just wonder if that's like a, again, like similar.
Who owns the Washington Post?
Right, exactly. Like he's a fucking, he runs every, like these guys run everything. So of course it's like a,
yeah.
What
Washington
company does
Post.
every journalism website rent their servers from?
Right,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
Most likely every single one of them is Amazon.
Yeah, if this podcast cuts out right now, you'll know why.
You know what's happening.
Yeah, yeah, I'm like, yeah, fuck Jeff.
You leave Epstein out of this.
I was saying Bezos.
Yeah, somebody needs to also do, they won't do it, but some non-mainstream journalist needs to do the app equivalent of Eyes Wide Shut, like whatever. Ooh. That is that's there, like I'm sure a hacker has that.
Maybe
somewhere.
Bad thing.
Very well paid hacker. Let's talk about anti-maskers. They now are afraid of people who have been vaccinated, because anti-maskers and anti-vaxxers are basically...
it's one circle now.
A circle.
Yeah, no longer.
Venn diagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now they are... Like, there's some conflict there, because now the anti-maskers want a mask to keep free of the vaxxers' germs, I guess.
Well, because they're so caught up on this modified RNA, their fundamental misunderstandings of vaccines and even the technology of this specific one has sent them into this other world in which they're certain, they're like, you know, this is just to make you infertile and things like that. So right now they're saying, quote, vaccinated will shed certain proteins onto the unvaccinated, who will then suffer adverse effects as well. Which is the shedding will cause irregular menstruation, infertility, and miscarriages. And again, this was all part of like motivating some people to not get it. And now influencers in the anti-vaxxer community are warning their followers to social distance. Okay. Oh, and on a live stream, one of these, conspiracy theorists was saying, telling them, imploring their viewers say to stay away from somebody who's had these shots forever because we don't know how long they can be a threat to us. Another anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorist said, he's a New York pediatrician and conspiracy theorist, because you also want your pediatrician to be a conspiracy theorist. Oh, I think everyone knows that. He was saying that vaccinated people should, quote, have a badge on their arms that say, I've been vaccinated, even though it's not a vaccine, so that we know to avoid them on the street, to not go near them anywhere in society. And I'm like, hell, this is kind of cool.
Yeah. Let's let them wear a mask. Let them stay the fuck away from us. Like,
and I'm like, right, you want me to shed on you? You better back the fuck up.
They're doing the thing that we like felt like we shouldn't be doing technically, is like making them wear something to like avoid them because they could still have COVID-19. Like, so they're just doing that work for us.
The pretzel, like the brain pretzel you got to get into to make that work, rather than something as simple as, hey, viruses come out your nose and mouth, so you should cover your nose and mouth. That seemed real simple to me. But all this rigmarole you got to do to get to, like, my skin cells are going to shed and...
The proteins will...
That's so much work, bro. Like, God, dog, that's so much work.
Yeah. Right. But what's interesting, there's like a new thing I was reading from some MIT researchers who are sort of infiltrating these groups just to kind of study them like empirically. And they're saying like their respect for like empiricism is really something. Like they really try and use the same methodology of accepted science to sort of even navigate like their own conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
So it's this really weird interest in science, but it's coming from the fucking worst angle and the worst set of ideas to start off with. But
that's so weird, man.
The whole thing with this, though, too, this sort of idea of shedding and the fear of that has gotten to the point where others are talking about how they should quarantine vaccinated family members. There was a school in Miami that was even prohibiting vaccinated teachers from interacting with students. The mask thing is still up in the air, though, because apparently right now the shedding debate is like the new hot ticket item where they're using to, you know, justify their fear or whatever.
I just feel like, man, some people just need a culture war. Like, you just got to turn everything into a culture war. And it's exhausting, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just like this new turn to me, like I was finally like, usually you're just like, what? This one I was like, man, I'm tired, man. Like, man, come on, y'all. Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know anybody died from polio? Yeah, me neither.
Right.
You know why?
For good reason.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't know nobody with smallpox, scurvy. Right. Like, you know anybody with rickets? Like, no. why is it so hard, man? Like, why everything gotta be a war? Why everything gotta be a war?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. That's...
Because I think on some level, you know, like it just plays into people's psychology or their own personal history where like they've just become contrarian throughout their lives. Yeah. And this, because I look at even people who started veering in this direction, even people in my own family who before were just like the trippy family member, you know, it's like, oh, you know, like this is my secret. I have these herbs to stay healthy.
Yeah, in the 80s and 90s
and shit. And now they're kind of on this like, you think masks work? And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Duh,
I mean, it's like sort of like a, it's definitely like a personality trait, because I would have never pegged them for that because they're very intelligent. But again, this is something we've discussed too, like with cult members, like intelligence can kind of fuck you up too, because you can really convince yourself that what you're saying is facts.
Yeah, man. The unraveling of like the baseline of reality that you've set up, if that unravels, it's like, only chaos can be on the other side of this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But like those of us who've been through been through metamorphosis, that are like, you can't be afraid of that cliff, you know? So once you jump over that cliff and you're like, oh, okay, it's fine. You know what I'm saying? The world didn't blow up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember I came from like any other Black person from LA. We went to church, you know what I'm saying? So I like, first time I had like, you know, premarital sex, and God didn't rip the roof open and strike my naked body with lightning. You know what I'm saying? That you're just like, I guess, shit. Oh, Okay. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, all right. So now I get to decide, like, what kind of man am I going to be? You know what I'm saying? It's not for fear of, you know, immediate destruction. You feel me? So I just think, like, when that reality unravels, you know what I'm saying? And I honestly think, like you said, like, it had nothing to do with, it got nothing to do with intelligence. But, like, to me, it's like that fear of the unraveling. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't never looked into no abyss, you know, and was willing to walk into, and you realize, yo, it's Narnia, bro. Like, you can go through the looking glass and it's fine. You know what I'm saying?
You might jump off the cliff and realize you could fly.
Nigga, I can fly.
You know what I mean? Rather than thinking it's going to just come bringing you splat down on the ground. That part of that is the growth you experience is going into the unknown. And,
you know, and like experiences and being willing to be wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, then, and I think that like, that's another thing that I feel like what happened in that world is like, man, you just, yo, take the L. Like, you could, like, it's no problem being like, you know what? I used to think this about Mask. Turns out.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just. Right. It's cool to be wrong. Like, it's
I would be like, I thought, look, I was fucked up on fucking loose change in like coming out of college, and you know, then I was like, well, maybe I could let go of some weird conspiracy theories and shit like that.
Yeah,
but
totally.
It definitely takes a moment too, where you got to be able to say, oh, right, everything that I believed doesn't have to be real. In fact, this is a process of like sorting through ideas and ideologies and figuring out like what is best for me.
Yeah,
but hey, you know,
there's just too much. There's too much information. I feel like this is the combination of the fact that, you know, there's no authoritative source that everybody agrees on. This is where you get your information from.
Yeah.
So there's just everything is a source of information,
right?
And then that combined with the American psychology of being allergic to collectivism and needing something to differentiate yourself from other people to make you feel special, to make you feel like you're like a tiny version of Harry Potter, where you're like the one who was always it, like who was chosen to know this hidden information. Like America, I think America has become increasingly reliant on those sorts of things psychologically as things like social, like people stopped going to church, people stopped going to bowling leagues, people stopped getting to know their neighbors. And now it's like we need to not just believe that we are perfect, like individuals who control our own destiny, but that we're like special, magical individuals who are more the most important and the world secretly revolves around them.
It's kind of like that, too, that mentality. I was talking to somebody over the weekend about how, like, when you're younger, your personality is more defined about with, like, what you're not fucking with.
Yeah.
Not necessarily what you're interested in. It's mostly defined about what you reject.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a very beginning phase of identity formation is, like, I'm not fucking with it. Oh, fucking that cartoon? No, that's for babies. You know what I mean? Like, that's the mentality, and that's the same shit. Oh, wearing masks? Uh-uh. That's for fucking sheep. Like that's not a way to navigate this event in your life.
That's interesting,
to be like, I'm not fucking with it to the side with it. No.
Cause then when you think about when you hit like middle school and you gotta find your like what I like to call your like I'm a skater, I'm a rapper, I'm a rocker. You gotta find your and then it's I going along with your example, some people never like, oh, I don't fuck with rap, I'm with this. You know, if you don't never mature out of that, you know what I'm saying? Whereas, like, I left that in eighth grade. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, these rules are not hard and fast. Like, I can like Nirvana. Like, what's wrong with me liking Nirvana? You know what I'm saying? But that next evolution of, like, forming your sense of self to where you're like, yo, these categories are made up. They don't have to be this way.
Yeah.
And my importance as an individual is it's not a zero sum game, you know what I'm saying? That like if I allow myself to be a part of the collective community, you know what I'm saying, that somehow or another takes away from my individualism. Yeah, that's like you gotta like
you're not seeing the whole picture at that point.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Right. And then it's like what's crazy is like how you kid yourself with this idea of like you're saying like I need my nose to be more special, like I'm America's Earth's special little guy, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I am the special little guy in America, right? I think for myself, but yet you still are a part of a herd, and that herd is called anti-vax. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so it's like,
right.
You still join in the tribe. You know what I'm saying?
Still in a crew, yeah.
You're still in a crew, you know?
Some Ronin with like your own code, the truly like untamable.
Yeah.
Do your own research. That's the thing they all say now, which just means like you have to like go to untrustworthy sources.
I'll do it like I've been doing it. I'll go to the expert.
As a former ninth grade teacher, I can tell you none of these fools know how to research.
Right.
I would have. You would have all failed my class. Like this is not. This ain't a research paper, fam. That's a meme. Did you check this source, cuz? Like you can't. This source. Did you look for any dissenting voices? Do this over. Do this paper over.
But Arthur's balled up fist represents the anger of the antebellum plantation owners ready to knuckle up against the North.
Word, that's what you got? All right, let's see. I'm gonna give you another
look,
shot,
here's
bro.
The timeline. John Brown, then you got the Arthur fist. Okay.
Right.
Then you got that SpongeBob meme where they're looking out the window and they're having fun.
So seriously, so that's what it is. You're just trying to brainwash me, teacher.
Right, right.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I feel like people are, you know, did you guys ever have friends who would stop liking a band once other people started liking them?
Oh, yeah,
or stop liking a musician once other people started liking them? I feel like that's how people are now with like news sources.
Yeah.
Like that's just too mainstream. Too many people respect it.
It's like to the point
I
where
only
like
fuck with Alex Jones.
That's like sometimes when you hear people like, man, I only fuck with this kind of music or whatever. And you're like, no, this person's kind of at the top of their game. You're like, nah, fuck that. Fuck
you don't
that.
Want
it's
to
about
succeed.
This other person that's trash, and I'm like, that's not a really good comparison. Like,
I call it the Chance the Rapper effect, because it's like everybody liked him when he was the People's Champ. He was touring the world with a mixtape. Then the guy actually succeeds. He lands a record deal, gets married, has some children. It's like, he sold out. Like, you mean it worked? Like, it worked. Yeah.
Also, like, I'd hate to tell you about his family backstory too. If you're doing this kind of myth building in your mind,
yeah, right.
Right. All right, let's take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you guys give a shit about the Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather fight at all?
Of course I do. I lost hundreds of dollars on
that. Brody and I have been going to boxing classes just to get ready for this.
The sweet science. Am I right, fellas?
I mean, yeah, I want to see Floyd Mayweather beat the fucking brakes off.
I just want to see him get humiliated so bad. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I'll even be able to watch it because I want to see that happen so bad. But
didn't Jake Paul like FaceTime or something recently with Donald Trump or someone like that?
Yeah, over the weekend, I think he hollered at him.
Yeah, they're straight up like they're, you know, just code whistling, coded. Like
he's the Aryan, he's the great white hype. He's the great white hype about to fight Floyd Mayweather. That's how they're billing it.
That
little tussle they had was fucking, I don't know if that was real or not, but
I mean, Floyd,
his brother
pissed.
Jake Paul looked a little shooketh.
Yeah, he came out of it with a black eye, but he was like, it wasn't Floyd didn't hit me, it was his bodyguard. So I won. But like, even when you look at like the rhetoric that he was using, like Jake Paul came up, like that Floyd Mayweather and his brother were on stage, and Jake Paul came up and was like, "Your shoes aren't tied, dude." It's like, wait, what are you, like a 60-year-old fucking
like you, an old
Vietnam
white principal
vet?
At the inner city high school?
What are you talking about?
Hey, your pants are sagging.
Right, and then tried to
so
like
your
take
mother
his
lets
hat.
You leave the house.
Sticks and stones can't break my bones.
Yeah, but these fists will.
Yeah. Anyways, let's hope they do.
It's yeah, it's if there's, I mean, fuck Floyd Mayweather too on certain.
Oh yeah, like a horrible, atrocious human.
It's just like that's why I'm like fuck. I don't know, the amoeba versus the parasite. Like okay,
yeah.
But I definitely want the noisy dude. They're both noisy, but if there's something, you want to see the guy who was out here being like, yo, I'll fucking fight anybody. Like learn what it means to fight somebody who's like undefeated professionally.
I
want to
see
even
a third
though,
guy get in and beat up both of them.
Right after.
Yeah.
Like right after the fight when they're drained, Kimbo Slice comes back from heaven.
Right.
And just knocks him the fuck out.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the new cola wars, the hard seltzer wars. They are upon us.
There is a lot of lobbying money flying around with seltzers at the moment. We talked about in a few weeks ago about how like White Claw had like their new like surge level like fucking right. White Claw that had like more alcohol or whatever. But a lot of this has to do with like new players entering the game. So first of all, White Claw, the seltzer shit is not a flash in the pan. As no. I mean, I was like, okay, this is cool. I'm sure like it'll level off. They upped their sales by 160% in 2020. And it's not even just because people were at home more. Like they did over $4 billion in sales. They did $2.6 billion the year before, like overall in the market for seltzers. And they're now got nearly 10% of the beer category. And what that's doing is creating a lot of ripple effects. The first one is that craft beer brewers are now all having to make seltzers because they're looking at analysis and they're like, seltzers are gonna take over the craft beer segment. Like they're going to be a bigger segment than craft beers. So you have people like Stone, who does Stone IPA, and all these other like craft brewers getting in the fucking seltzer game because they can't miss the fucking wave. And
isn't the goal of a seltzer to like taste like nothing? So like, what is that? They're going to be like, ours tastes extra like nothing.
Well, like the memory of a dark cherry.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Essence of nothing called Father's Promise. It's this like, but they're, the way Stone is doing it is they're putting it in a glass bottle. Like they're thinking, like they're trying to fuck with consumers. I mean, it's like glass clear bottle, not the fucking slim can. Like we want to show people that it's clear. We want to show people like, and give it this, like, it's called like Buena Vida or some shit. So they're really trying to sell you on this healthy life shit. But it's not just them. There was a letter that was being written by the head of Boston Beers, who makes Sam Adams, and they also make
Head of Boston Beers.
head of Boston Beers.
That's how he starts every letter.
We got to get organized. We've got to get organized. These ready to drinks, they're going to fucking, they're going to get us all fucked up, bro. So they're trying to get organized because the spirit makers are now like, well, hold on. People, seltzer's on the come up? Well, what the fuck? We should be there too, because I think a lot of people think of seltzers already as a quasi like vodka soda type drink in a can.
Yeah, they're built on a lie. They claim to be like seltzer I think people assume they are seltzer with vodka in it, but it's actually like a malt liquor.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which brings us to the lobbying. So the reason they have to do that is for taxes, right? It's taxed differently if it's a malt liquor versus a spirit because of prohibition. Thank you for that. Temperance movement. And the whole thing with the lobbying is around, they're arguing, saying that we need to change the tax codes actually, because it's the same ABV. And that used to be sort of part of the logic. And we shouldn't, it's blurring the lines now with these seltzers that they feel like we should be able to hop in no problem. And we can use spirits now to turn these up. Yeah. And it's turning into like, not even like federal level, but even like local level, where states that have like, you know, monopolies on selling certain alcohols, they're even being lobbied too to like consider their, you know, their whatever, their rules, their regulations.
Consider the poor vodka bottlers, won't you?
Yeah. What will Smirnoff do? Because I think Crown Royal's like already in the game and they're doing well. So,
oh, snap.
Just a interesting thing to watch all these treats turn into like momentary, like meme drinks, and now just being like, nah. Because the other thing too is they point in this article in the Daily Beast was about how a lot of people, like certain drinks were fads because people just would drink something because that was the thing to drink. Like IPAs were very popular because people were just like, I don't know, we're in the IPA era, so we just drink IPAs. And now so many of those consumers have shifted to seltzers because they're just sort of on the same thing of like, I drink what's kind of what of the moment.
Right.
And now I think they're really trying to hit them with the health thing.
Right. Like a real hoppy seltzer, you know, one that just really fucks
actually,
up your
like,
sinuses.
A Japanese drink called hoppy has no alcohol, and like it's you add like shochu to it when you eat like an old man like yakitori or like izakaya type place.
That sounds sick. I mean, I'm all for seltzers, even in the bottle, as long as they put a little marble at the top and you can play with it.
I'm an actor.
Yeah.
Oh man. But yeah, let us know if you're still on that seltzer train, you know, because I definitely saw the wave die pretty quickly, like in my friend group.
Yeah, I don't know, because I feel like the kids who are raised on soda, you know what I mean, I think seltzer has a strong influence on them.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. So I feel like they'll stick around for a while, at least comfortably, but I wonder what's going to be the next thing after that. Like, do you guys ever see like gin coming back or something? Like, I don't think so.
Right. Let's talk about the Noid real quick. I don't know if you guys were you too young to
have, I avoided
to
it
remember
completely.
The Noid? You did? Congratulations. That was the goal.
I had the Nintendo game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So his whole deal was Domino's spokes mascot that he was an antagonist. So he was no Ronald McDonald here, more Hamburglar than Ronald McDonald. He would try and disrupt delivery of pizza when like pizza delivery was a new concept.
Yeah.
And the thing they were trying to, this is kind of amazing, the thing they were trying to like communicate to people is that your pizza, like Domino's was the only place that could avoid like this character who ruined pizza deliveries. And like one of the problems that people kept having with pizza delivery is the pizza would arrive smelling like smoke. Which is so fucking gross.
Like ciggy smoke?
Yeah, cold and smelling like cigarette smoke. Because like people would just, you know, the delivery person would just be hacking butts on the way over.
Right.
Taking his sweet ass time. Also, I always bring this up anytime early pizza delivery is mentioned, but the movie E.T., they don't understand how pizza delivery works yet. And they give him money to go to the end of his driveway and tell him to get them a pizza with lots of pepperonis on it. So when they wrote that movie, they thought pizza delivery was someone driving around with an oven in their car and like just had all the pizzas.
Like Ice Cream Man?
Yeah, they just thought they had all the pizzas in the car and like you went out and told them what was on the thing.
I'm just imagining like an Italian man like driving a car and right. Also checking his pizzas at the same time.
Yeah.
And like the car is very like poorly built and cumbersome. Yeah, so like if he takes a corner too hard, like it'll just flip over.
Just
so
he's just like,
it has to be that whimsical.
Oh,
and then E.T. comes out. It's like one with a lot of... Wait, they were asking E.T. to get the pizza?
No. Miles.
Big kid. Who got the pizza? Drew Barrymore?
What? No, it was like the teenage, the older brother's friends.
Oh, God.
Who I picture is still being older than me, even though I think they're like 13.
Right.
And then they're telling Elliot because he's like the...
Right.
They're playing D&D, which I think was also kind of groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Damn, I haven't watched that movie with adult eyes since ever. I think the last time I watched it was in high school.
I learned about pizza delivery from movies too, and I learned that you could deliver a pizza to a sewer in New York and they'll do it.
Yeah.
They'll slide it right under.
Yeah, you're just right into the storm drain, right? Or were they getting a manhole covered?
I think it was a manhole because then he had to get like change through like a grate or something. So it was like a grate. Yeah.
Has anyone ever tried to make a pizza that replicated just the consistency of the pizza from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah. People have tried.
The like cartoon, just sloppy. Wet
yeah, the cartoon. It was like slow wet, and like it would like stick to your mouth.
Yeah, from
shit.
Like All Dogs Go to Heaven style animation pizza.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. I think Chuck E. Cheese got kind of close.
Yeah,
but not quite.
Yeah, it's like if your pizza cheese was all burrata, it's like so wet and like
right, and the crust was just like a dish sponge.
Yeah, or the Goofy soaked movie. You remember the cheese from the Goofy movie?
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Talk that's about how we started our experience.
That's how we started our pandemic was a rewatch of the Goofy movie. So anyways, Domino's is trying to bring the Noid back. If you've never seen the Noid, it's like he's wearing like red pajamas with like weird floppy bunny ears on top. And so they have a new commercial with the Noid disrupting a self-driving Domino's delivery truck because they want to be like whimsical about the fact that there are like robots rolling down the street giving
replacing
you
people's
pizza.
Jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's also a mini boss in a Crash Bandicoot mobile game.
Would he just get out of jail or something?
Yeah, right?
He's just gonna come back with the noise like, I'm home, y'all.
Yeah, so
Crash, man, let's collab on a fucking game. Domino's, man. I've paid my debt to society.
7-Up, Doc. Come out of retirement.
Yeah,
dog.
Exactly.
We're gonna one last.
We eating.
Yeah. Also, I was surprised to learn that JM wrote this story for us, by the way. Shout out to JM crushing it today. But he pointed out that the Noid and the California Raisins, which were both like terrifying, but like somehow just zeitgeist defining creations, were both made by the same claymation artist, Will Vinton.
Genius.
Yeah, truly a genius. The reason that the Noid went away, and there was also a Saturday morning cartoon called The Noids that they almost dropped on the world that was just going to be a pizza commercial. Disguised as children's entertainment. But the reason the Noid went away was because in 1989, a man with a mental health condition who happened to be named Kenneth Noid took two employees hostage at an Atlanta Domino's and believed that the company was basically antagonizing him with the character the Noid and owed him money. And his demands also included a private plane to Mexico and an extravaganza pizza.
So he's still brand loyal.
Yeah. So eventually the hostages were able to escape and he surrendered and was found not guilty by reasons of insanity. But like that was it. They were just like, it became like front page right. news because it was such a strange
So
story.
He claimed noiditis?
Yeah. He claimed noiditis.
Wow.
And the headlines from the time, like just reading. Oh,
can't imagine how
from,
insensitive they are.
Yeah. The LA Times, one of the greats to ever do it. Pizza workers can't avoid noid. Held hostage 5 hours. like the fact that that's how they really wrote that shit is wild. But yeah, so Jan was also pointing out that this is part of a like overall renaissance of dumb corporate mascots. Apparently, mm-hmm. like the generation, like millennials, for some reason have like affinity for them. 79% mm-hmm. of American adults enjoy seeing brands use mascots. So we can expect to see old mascots
be
brought back.
Because I feel like I love see so mascots. Many Gen Z kids like rock old promo shirts that have like old marketing shit is kind of right. like the vibe for a lot of younger people. So I can see how bringing these like are kind of resonating on that. I mean, honestly, like
plus we had so many mascots back in the 90s. I mean, right. like in the 2000s, we only had Car Fox and like the General from that commercial.
Jared from Subway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So in the 90s, we had everything. We had freaking like Busby. We had everything. We had the Hawaiian Punch.
There was
guy.
Like that. Oh, the, he's the older. Sprite dude with the wavy hair. The drawing yeah. for the Sprite thing. There was the fucking Coca-Cola Bears. You know what I mean?
Seven Up Dot.
Yeah.
I mean, even like. I wonder if they're going to bring back Ronald McDonald, mm-hmm. as I call him, and like his whole cast of characters.
They will eventually.
Yeah.
Bring back Gromit. Make Gromit the face of McDonald's.
Because
yeah,
Grimace.
Clowns have like.
I thought they were going to just bring Wallace and Gromit over.
Yeah, I was
that'd
like,
be
okay.
cool too.
Combine
I mean,
it.
Out of the box thinking, but I like it. I think children generally don't like when I was a kid I found clowns terrifying. My grandmother collected clowns. Also did not like me.
My grandmother did that too. My great grandmother.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
despite
like
your coulrophobia.
Yeah. Yeah. And now my kids like just are agnostic. They're just like, I don't what the fuck is that? Why does that person have shit all over their face?
What's wrong with that guy's face? What's all that shit on his face?
Yeah. I'm a clown. What's wrong with your nose? Go to the doctor.
Fuck out of here, sloppy ass makeup, man.
Like, there's that sad clown in Toy Story 3, and they're just like kind of just confused as to like what his deal is. They're like, wait, why is he not smiling? Why is he, okay, whatever. Why does he look like that? So I think it's time to replace Ronald with Gromit.
Yeah.
Or Shaun the Sheep. One that's of the two.
Collab, yeah. Ronald and Gromit.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.